That was wonderful. We have to do this morning with one of the more extraordinary verses in all of our Bible. Our scriptures tell us that God created. God created. God created. God created. God created, God created, and then God rested. God rested. God stepped back, ceased, desist, savored, reflected upon the whole of creation and said, "It is very good." Pronounced benediction over all of God's work. In so doing, in resting, in ceasing to work, God established the reality and the gift of rest in the very fabric of creation. God instilled rest into the rhythm of existence. God gave us a gift and invited us to open it and commune with our Creator through rest. When I think of those words, remember the Sabbath, remember the rest, an image comes to mind, that of my mother's father, though he has been gone from this earth for over 40 years. He had a talent that not many people enjoy, a talent that not many people can mimic, but he knew how to enjoy God's gift of the rest on Sunday afternoon. He was an extraordinarily accomplished porch sitter. A porch sitter. We would arrive at his house and he would be in his rocking chair with his lemonade and his feet on the rail. And he would be the perfect picture of repose and rest, and his entire being emanated the message, "Relax, life is good." And I would be so captivated by the tenor of his countenance that I would run to my grandmother and she would fix me lemonade in one of those colored metallic cups that you bring out into the heat and they bead with sweat almost immediately. And I would sit in the rocking chair beside him and sip lemonade from that cold colored metallic cup. And I realized even then, I couldn't approximate my grandfather's piercing intelligence. I couldn't approach his pristine character. But when I sat next to him, sipping lemonade and rocking, I could mimic my grandfather's action. So too with God. We cannot approximate God's purity, God's power, God's wisdom. But when we open the gift of sacred rest, when we enjoy communion with our Creator by resting, we mimic the behavior of God. We come closest to approximating the behavior of God when we enjoy rest in the fabric of our existence. What an amazing thought. I think of a commercial a few years ago. Very overworked businesswoman whose young girls were nagging her to take them to the beach. And she kept saying no, and she ended the conversation with what she thought was the telling phrase, "I have a client." And the youngest of the girls, obviously selected by central casting for her fetching innocence, "Mama, when do we get to be your client?" And of course, that question clarifies for the woman what's really important. And she says, "You have 5 minutes to get ready for the beach." And there are girls scurrying around the house to the sound of "girls just want to have fun." The theme of that commercial obviously was interruption. The Sabbath is an interruption. It is meant to be an interruption. God realizes we become so fixated, so focused on our jobs, on our families, on our hobbies, on our friends, that once every 7 days, God sticks a stop sign in front of us and says, "Cease, desist, relax, rest." God says, "I know you're fixated on all the things you've got going on. Stop. Stop. Come to a stop and don't take yourself so seriously." On the other hand, the Sabbath is also saying, take the grace of God more seriously. In other words, the Sabbath says unto us a very simple thing. You aren't going to work yourself into God's kingdom. You aren't going to win God's grace by all of your activity, even all of your good and worthy works. The Sabbath says to us, God has already accepted you. God has already affirmed you. You just have to accept God's acceptance. When I think upon this thing, an image comes to my mind of one of my last final exams at the University of Georgia, a history and Southern course in Southern Lit, which I loved. And our professor had given us a really hard exam, and everybody else had left, and I was still in there scribbling. And my professor walked by and looked down and said, "Richard, turn it in. Turn it in." I said, "I'm not finished." He said, "Turn it in." Turned it in. And then I realized, walking away, he knew me. He knew my work. He knew my love for this subject. I'd had him for several classes. He knew how bad my handwriting was. He had already accepted me, had already accepted my work, had already affirmed me. Anything I did in the next half hour wasn't going to change that. I just had to accept his acceptance. The Sabbath is God's way of saying to us, cease, stop, relax. I've already accepted you, not by your works, but by mine. Just accept your acceptance. The Sabbath is an interruption. The Sabbath is a gift. The Sabbath alerts us to God's grace. But the Sabbath is also judgment. The Sabbath is also a statement of judgment. The only way I can express this is to ask you to cast your mind like you're walking on the beach in July. And you're walking past all of the sandcastles. The sandcastles built by the little kids with their shovel and their buckets. Very simple and crude. The sandcastles built by the engineers who have nothing to do with their time on vacation except to build big sandcastles with crenellated walls and working moats. And as you're walking down the beach, the waves come in. And whether the sandcastles are ornate or crude, the water reduces them all to lumpless, wet sand. Whoosh. The Sabbath is God's eternal tide coming in once a week as a statement of judgment. The Sabbath is the eternal judging the ephemeral. It is God reminding us, I know you're busy. I know you're working. I know you're ambitious. I know you've got aspirations. But take your eyes for a moment off the ephemeral and lift them up to the eternal. You are mortal. You and your aspirations and your activities are bound by finitude. Lift your eyes off of your daily mundane stuff and commune with me. Commune with me. The Sabbath is a judgment upon our ephemeral lives to remind us to connect that all that really remains from our lives is our relationship with God. God rested. God relaxed. God stepped back and breathed. How many of us think we are tougher than God? We don't need rest. There's a price to be paid for that attitude. God wants us to understand rest is written into the fabric of our lives, sacred rest. And a part of that sacred rest is patience. God steps back from creation and allows creation to flourish. Patience is a part of the Sabbath celebration, part of our understanding. Not everything we want to accomplish can be accomplished immediately. Didn't realize one of my children was going to be here this Sunday. I probably wouldn't use this example because they hate me to preach about them. But I can remember when we decided, Melissa and I did, we were going to grow tomatoes. And our children were very, very excited. They were very small. We wanted to help dig the hole and plant the seed and water it. But then they wanted tomatoes instantly. We said, it doesn't work that way. It takes patience. So they watched the vines. And as soon as these little green knobs appeared on the vine, they grabbed them and came running into the house. We've got tomatoes! Patience. Patience is woven into the Sabbath celebration. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, is a summons to structure rest into our lives. To structure holiness, communion with God. We're meant on the seventh day to stop and commune with God, but it's also an invitation to create Sabbath moments in every day. In every day. Weave the Sabbath into every day in just some small way. There's a wonderful statement. We know best those with whom we commune most. We know best those with whom we commune most. If we structure commune with God into our daily lives, we come to know God better. We come to know God as friend with friend. We come to know God like we do that friend we talk an hour on the phone to every day. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Means that when we structure our lives in such a way as to say, this time is sacred, we begin to make ourselves a little more sacred. When we set aside time and say, this time is time for communion with the holy, we become more holy in the process when we consecrate a part of our lives for communion with God. We become more consecrated. The youth at our church in Charlotte every 2 years would go to St. John's, to John's Island, South Carolina, and build a Habitat house. And they would work throughout the day and then do strange things to each other's hair during the night, making it all kinds of weird colors. They would leave looking like a youth group. They came back as a very large punk rock band. And after a week of intense work building a Habitat house, we would insist that our children go with us to church on Sunday. Dad, we've been working all week. Why do we have to go to church? And our answer was, it is important that you remember for whom you have labored. It is important that we remember for whom we labor each day, each week. And when we hear our Lord's injunction, remember the Sabbath, remember the rest, and keep it holy, we structure holiness into the fabric of our lives, and it refreshes and renews us. May we pray together. God of love, strength, and power, and goodness, you have given us a wonderful gift, but you cannot make us open it. But teach us, mentor us, coach us into the importance of sacred rest with you, that truly we might be refreshed in being. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit has challenged you, we offer you a chance to open up the gift of the Christ and the redemption that Christ offers. Claim Christ as Savior and Lord in a believer's baptism. We offer you a chance to come be a part of this community. Not sacred always in our behavior, but sacred in our ambitions. Come splice your life into our communal life by transfer of letter, by statement. Come make church with us as we stand to sing.